Been good to be here again this morning. Be reminded that this is just a temporary place, right? But make use of it while we're here, right? Be a light and a salt. Make a difference. That's what salt does. Salt makes a difference. Thank you for that devotional, Henry. Looking in the songbook for that song where it talks about, I'll be watching for the dawning of tomorrow when the Lord, I forget exactly the words, but I don't think it's in the songbooks. When the Lord returns, I'll be waiting. Am I waiting? Am I watching and waiting for the dawning when Christ comes to receive his bride? Well, I think we've been instructed already this morning to, in the ways of the Lord, and maybe continue to maybe hear some more. For a scripture, or some scripture, we're going to go cover, we're going to be in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll start out there. And I'll write the title of the message on the board. What that is? Discretion. What is that? What does it look like in our lives, right? As I was thinking about this, I was I don't know how many of you listened to Pilgrim's Progress. But in the world that we live in, you know, if sometimes you hear the thing of, if everybody would just love each other, you know, everything would go better. Basically, love is supposed to cover everything, but not really. I mean, we know that the devil is out to bring destruction in people's lives, but Jesus came to give us direction, and he wants us to follow him. So let's read here in Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read out of the ESV here in the first. You can follow along. It's just the first six verses here in Proverbs. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. In the King James, I think it says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And verse 5 says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. This is in the ESV. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. God wants to direct us, but are we open to hear his instruction. Here it says, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. How important is discretion? Discretion. I mean, let's look at the meaning of discretion. Discretion, that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution. Discernment and judgment directed by circumspection and primarily regarding one's own conduct. That's discretion. As I was saying earlier, Pilgrim's Progress, after he had been walking with, you know, he had started out, he got started on the road and he had some difficulties, and then he came to the house called the House Beautiful, which is, I think it was the church where he kind of got, and there was a porter there that was watching. You know, he met him at the gate, and he kind of asked him, you know, where he's coming from, where he's going. And then the Christian was telling him where he came from. He came from the city of destruction. And then he said, by the rules of this house, I'm going to have someone come out. And the first one that came out was discretion. And then she asked him, you know, kind of the same question. He asked him, you know, where he's coming from, where he's going, basically his testimony of how things are going in his life, because there's a lot of opportunities. Discretion, if you look at the meaning of discretion, we notice it was, that was discretion. If you look at discreet says wise, avoiding errors or evil in selecting the best means to accomplish a purpose, circumspect, cautious, wary, not rash. And if you remember in Pilgrim's Progress, there was some other fellows that had turned around and went back. But Christian kept on going, and it almost seemed like he should have also turned around and went back when the going got tough. But he did not. But when he came to this house, the first person to come out and ask him question was discretion. And then it was prudence, piety, and charity. Charity was in the last of the list. As I said before, you know, sometimes we think if everybody just loved each other, everything would be okay, but this earth is not a friendly place. And Satan would have nothing more than to try to get us to go to sleep and not use some discernment and do rash things. I'm going to read some more. Just some more in Proverbs, just to get us to consider the value of discretion. Solomon gives a couple places that he gives directions for discretion. In Proverbs 2. 1 and 1 through 12. That's over the next chapter. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Does that sound like discretion is pretty important, pretty valuable? I mean, how do we know when we have it? There's a life that I think if our lives are after seeking after the Lord, you know, there's a verse where it says, if we seek him, we shall find him. Knock and it shall be opened. We had that, was it in the widow's dinner a week ago? Knock and it shall be open. And here it's saying, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And remember, discreet is not doing anything rash. You know, sometimes I was thinking when Henry was sharing about those little children waiting for their dad. And sometimes, you know, we're here on this earth and we're waiting until the Lord returns. And basically, we're busy doing our everyday work, so to say. And we have lots of opportunity to think, you know what, there's not that many people that are waiting. Why don't we just go and join what everybody else is doing? That's what you would call leaving discretion. I'm no longer looking and watching and waiting for the Lord's return. You start doubting. As I didn't even mention there in the start with in Proverbs, says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So David was, basically he taught Solomon these things, and Solomon then wrote them down. But here if we go on over to Proverbs chapter 3 is another one. Proverbs chapter 3. Some of these are written down in the ESV. I think this one here is still in the King James. Proverbs 3, verses 19 through 24. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. When is sleep sweet? Is when there is when we keep sound wisdom and discretion. You know, as just again, discretion is not to do anything rash, but it doesn't mean that you don't do something quickly sometimes, but it's when you do something that you know is according to the way the Lord would want you to do it. There's a an example of somebody that did something that was rash. Was when Jezebel, she was a woman that I think was didn't have discretion. You know, when Elijah killed the prophets of Baal, and then she said that she's also going to kill him if, you know, by a certain time. And you know what happened? I mean, she was killed. But a good example of somebody that walked in discretion, this is in 1 Samuel chapter 25. Just two verses I'm going to read there. I could have read more of it, but it's where Nabal was, David sent some men down to Nabal, and Nabal kind of talked, you know, he kind of disregarded David's men, and David was going to go fight, was going to kill this guy, he was going to kill Nabal because of the way he responded to his men when he sent them down there. And actually, let's turn to, that's in 1 Samuel 25. Maybe we'll read a few more verses there. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Here you have both, I think we could say we have both sides of somebody that acted in discretion, somebody that didn't. Nabal, he kind of didn't talk very nice to David's men. But after she found out what her husband did to David's men, she took some bread and she sent it on ahead. She sent this on ahead to, because she knew what David was going to do. And then in verse 32, David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand." In the ESV, it actually says, "Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation for my own hand." She did discretion. She was a lady of discretion that basically saved her husband from all the others under Nabal's domain to be killed. And then also another one is that acted in discretion was Daniel. You know how the king had a dream and he couldn't remember his dream anymore. When he woke up, he couldn't remember his dream, so he got all the magicians and those people to come in and say what his dream was, and they said, well, nobody, you got to say, you got to say your dream. And so he made the decision that he's going to kill them all. And in the ESV, I'll be reading in the ESV here, in Daniel, says, the Chaldeans, this is in Daniel chapter 2, verse 10. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, or for so great a powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asked is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Almost sounded like Daniel was in that he would have been the one to help kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. And Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. We know who those were, what we sometimes call the three fine young men: Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Another name we know them better by is probably Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel told this to his three friends, and told them to seek mercy from God of heaven concerning his mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Just like I think what Henry, what you had shared about that, the guy you were talking to that shared how his commander was going to basically kill him. He acted in discretion. You know, we can get when things get tough, we can act rashly, or we can bring it to prayer and ask the Lord to give direction. Because ultimately, I think that is what discretion is when we depend on a difficult situation, when we depend on the Lord. Lord, this is what is before me. You tell me what to do. You remember when, Jehoshaphat? Which one of those where it was that there was letters that he laid out before the Lord, and there was a letter that was kind of written against him. And when he put it out before the Lord gave him direction. And I might be getting to make the stories mixed up, but the one of them where they went out and they sang and everything, it seemed like everything, they sought the Lord and then the Lord fought for them. Either we can, you know, sometimes we get into tough situations where we can, instead of acting in discretion, we can just come up with our own ideas and figure it out, and the Lord lets us go and find out how good we can do by ourselves. But what I see discretion here as basically asking the Lord for direction, and then when he gives direction, it's so much more powerful than even if the thing that I would have done might have, or that would have come to my mind would have sounded like the right thing to do. But if we seek the Lord and he gives direction, we're way better off than doing it the way we think or we want to do it ourselves. There's another one in Proverbs that gets very graphic. You're probably all familiar with this one. And says, as this is in Proverbs 11:22. It says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Well, that gets pretty graphic, right? As a jewel of gold in a pig's snout. I mean, what is the connecting here? If a woman that is, it says a fair woman without, basically a fair woman without discretion is like a jewel of gold in a pig's snout. Well, the pig doesn't regard anything in its nose. I mean, it's a disgrace. How important is discretion? And another way that we could say it, as I said before, is God direct, waiting on God sometimes can, that's what gives us the power to live above or to walk above our circumstances that we find ourselves in sometimes. I mean, Solomon, a couple of times, you know, he mentions about wisdom and discretion. If you have those, if you're not going to do things to keep you from doing or going after things that will destroy your life, to keep thee from, in the one of them in Proverbs, I think it's in chapter 3, where it talks about it, keep thee from the strange woman. Discretion will keep thee. Another one that I wanted to read is which is a very familiar one. Actually, here's the one that I was looking for earlier. I forgot. This is an example when discretion was not used. This was in Joshua. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. This was after they had conquered Ai, and then there's some of these kings that had heard that how they had destroyed Ai. And the Gibeonites heard this, and they took them victuals, it says, and ask not counsel. The men took their victuals and went to Joshua and, you know, made this story that they took all this, they had moldy bread and old, looked like they came from a far country. And they were asking Joshua to spare them, to make a lead with them. And so that's what they did. And it says, the men took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. This is an example of Joshua not asking the Lord first. And I think we as men can easily do that sometimes. We can think that we know, oh, we know how to do this one. We know how to take care of this one. But it's always better to ask the Lord and to get his direction. And then another good example is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 41. This is a very familiar one too, with Joseph. This was also after Pharaoh had dreamed some dreams. And he couldn't figure out what they all meant. It was kind of confusing to him. And we know the story of Joseph, you know, how he was, everything that he did seemed like it prospered. It didn't matter where God put him in life. It didn't matter how difficult it was. I mean, it's a very powerful example for us, for he walked in, I think, in discretion. I mean, he could have, if you think about it, well, let's read this. He was in prison when the king had this dream, and then he came, and the king couldn't figure it out, so they asked Joseph to come, and he interpreted them the dreams for him. And then in verse, after he interpreted the dreams, Joseph says in verse 33, chapter 41, says, now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seventh plenteous year. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store in the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. I mean, here is a beautiful example of discretion, basically, is seeking the Lord and walking in his ways, doing what pleases the Lord. I mean, right here is Joseph was tested in if you look at, you know, he was tested in Potiphar's house, and then he went to prison, and here now he's the ruler. And if discretion would have been lacking in his life, after he got to be the second in command, Have you ever considered what he could have done to his brothers? If discretion would have been lacking in his life, what would he have done to all his brothers? He could have got rid of every one of them. He was the second in command in Egypt, and he could have gone and got rid of all his brothers. And if you look at the life of Jesus, I mean, he could have done the same thing with us, because there was nothing really in any of us. But he wanted to give each one of us another chance. And each one of us has that chance to. By faith, we can be heirs together with him. And if we seek to obey him and follow him, no, we're not going to be. He didn't come to destroy us, but he came to save us. And that's what what we see Joseph doing here. He was there for the sake of his God. It wasn't for himself. And if we have that heart, it'll make all the difference in the world. So how important is discretion? Discreet. Let me read that again. There's also a word in the meaning of discreet. It says prudent. And if you look at the word prudent, it says wisdom applied in practice. Prudent is wisdom applied in practice. And if you look I don't have the other one here now. Wisdom applied to practice. That's what prudence is. And wisdom says the right use or exercise of knowledge, the choice of laudable ends and of the best means to accomplish them. This is wisdom in act, effect, or practice. So these, you know, when Solomon writes about wisdom, prudence, and discretion and all those things, those are not things that we can. There's no human being that is wise enough or smart enough that they can always do the right thing that pleases God. But if we ask, and then he can give us direction, even things that don't seem like it's not the right thing, but if it's according to his ways, then we're going to be blessed. I guess the thing that I want to encourage each one of us in is to not do anything rash. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't do something sometimes sometimes we do things, you know, sometimes almost without thinking and later we wonder, you know, I never even prayed about it. I think it's always good, you know, a major decision, even little things. I mean, it doesn't hurt to pray about little things too. The little story had gone through my mind. I'm not sure if we have it in a book or did somebody else say it. Was it a preacher from a church that was? I think there was an opportunity for him to go somewhere else, and it seemed like a good thing, and so they everything kind of worked out for them. They got the truck to load their belongings on, and they were I think the people from the church came and helped them. You remember the story? And I think the people were there and were heartbroken and weeping about it. And it really affected him. And I think he went back in and told his wife, you know what, they never prayed about this. And if I think, if I've got the story right, that they unloaded everything again. Do you remember the story? It's like, that's acting in that would be a rash move, right? We can see those things sometimes. And sometimes I think we've all done some of those things. But we learn through that. I mean, it's not that we don't, I mean, sometimes we need to, sometimes it almost seems like, okay, Lord, you're not telling me anything right now, so I'm just going to do what I know is right, and if it doesn't come out right, then at least we can learn something from it. Just an encouragement to seek the Lord before we do something, I guess, is what I would say discretion is. Not doing things rashly. Sometimes we can easily, because we have minds to think and figure things out, and we think that this is the way this is going to work. But the Lord always has a better plan if we just ask Him. And may each one of us, I guess just an encouragement for each one of us to do that, to be discreet in how we do things, you know, when we, you know, you can say the, how does it, they say, you hear sometimes in, you can say the right thing at the wrong time, or you can say the right thing at a different time. That's discretion. I know some of you might have examples of it. I mean, you know, there's times when one of them that I had thought about earlier this morning is when Jesus met the woman at the well. You know how he approached her? He could have condemned her, but how he approached her opened her heart. And I think we can do that, you know, in a church body where we work together. When somebody doesn't do something quite like I would, doesn't mean it's wrong. Or if they ask, you know, how would you have done it? Well, I would have maybe done it, but what you did was okay. I mean, we can be careful how we talk to each other, you know, in being considerate of one another, being discreet, because we all do things a little different sometimes. But use discretion in how we encourage each other, because as I was meditating on this discretion, you know, because I think the other evening we were talking about it at home. You know, it says in James that every kind of beasts have been tamed, but it's never been tamed. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And the way we use our words, the way we comment each other or discourage each other, those are, I think, when the Lord tames our tongue, it can be with discretion. We can, you know, the things that we say or could say can make the biggest difference when we say it when we ask the Lord to, Lord, I mean, every day we could ask the Lord, you know, Lord, don't let me say something that I shouldn't, but help me to say the things I should. And We can encourage each other, be discreet in how we do it, how we give admonition. I mean, we do that with our children. We know we can admonish them, but do it in a way, in a discreet way. I know I've had people do it to me, and I want to do that for other people too. I mean, when you do something wrong, they could really tell how wrong you were. But I've had people very gracious and discreet, and you know, help me, show me a different way. I think it goes a long ways. Ask the Lord for discretion. Make me discreet. And I know in about the verse in Proverbs where it talks about as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a woman without discretion. I think the reason, it also mentions that in Titus, I think is where it says the ladies are to be discreet. I think the reason that it mentions the ladies, I mean, the men need to be discreet too, but it's because I think a lady has a lot of, power in what she says to her husband, or can have, because we're affected by what our wife thinks, right? And just because the Bible says a gold in a swine's snout is, or a woman without discretion is like a gold in a swine's snout, doesn't mean, I don't think it's meaning just the ladies. I think it's actually the men. The reason I think it mentions the ladies is because the difference that a lady makes in a guy's, the discretion that she uses when, because they're, I mean, come on, men, we all know that we're not as smart as we think we are sometimes. Our wife can come out sometimes and think, well, why don't you do it this way? Well, okay, thank you for being discreet about that. I appreciate it. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I want to bless you ladies for, I don't want to make that use that verse in a way that you are very dangerous, but you are very powerful in how you use your words, right? So if you feel like sometimes you say things that you shouldn't, you know, we can ask the Lord to make each one of us discreet in how we say things, and I've got a very good wife. She does very good with that, so I can say that in public, I guess. So. So God bless you. I hope it was a blessing for you. May the Lord continue to make us all discreet, right?